Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the RIP Tour podcast. I am your host, Ash, and we're pretty light today on numbers. There's only two of us recording tonight. Before we get into the ins and outs of this episode, I'm going to introduce the only other tour guide here tonight. Liz, what's going on?
Good evening, Ash.
I'm glad somebody showed up, Liz.
Yeah, I didn't want to leave you here alone, you know?
It wouldn't be fun. I'm sure it wouldn't be fun for the people listening either, just me rambling on this podcast. But it is quite late. It's 9:27 p.m. in the evening, which means Gary's tucked away right now and Tim's obligated to work his actual job. So,
and I'm just waking up.
Yeah, this is where Liz thrives. Talks about Liz being a vampire, which is very fitting for this episode we're going to get into. So this episode is, but firstly, Liz, we're not going to touch on the kind of announcements that have happened today. We're going to leave that for a big bumper episode with everybody. But what are you thinking? Everything, the rest of the best or the best of the rest got announced today. It was a bit of a whirlwind.
Oh, it's been a crazy day. It's been such a hectic, wonderful day. My notifications have been going crazy all day. I'm going to sleep so well tonight from all the excitement. But yeah, I'm super hyped.
Yeah. No, me too. And it was, they've made a habit this now for the last 3 years. I think we had, what did we have at the time? Three announcements did we have?
Yeah, three.
Last night. Yeah. So yesterday we had three announcements. Now we have 10 mazes. We got the seven mazes, five zones show. And what we consider now as more of like an icon, MC, maybe host for the event, kind of fitting everything together, Dr. Oddfellow. And this is what this episode is all about. We've done plenty of history episodes, history spotlights. What we are going to focus on today is Dr. Oddfellow, because we have got some new information, new lore, new history, new stories that we are going to cover in this episode. But Liz, do you think, just with given the overall theme related, would you consider maybe an icon or more of like an MC for the event?
I think he has to be considered an icon. I know he's not really getting much in terms of marketing yet, but he is woven throughout the entire story of these houses, of these zones. I think he's got to be considered an icon.
Yep, I agree completely. When I consider an icon, I would A, are they on marketing? Not just yet, but I think they will be, right? Mm-hmm. Do they have their own maze?
Check.
Yeah, and a scare zone.
Check.
Check times five, I think, right? Which we're gonna get into. Sometimes the icons normally have a show as well. We've not really got anything on that front, but I would have to agree with the icon as opposed to like a mascot. But yeah, so what we're gonna do is our resident time traveler, Tim, send him back in time. We are firstly gonna go over the original lore, original history of Dr. Oddfellow at the event. Now, it has changed a little bit, which we are going to go over in this episode as well, but we did want to give people who may not be familiar with him in the original history of Halloween Horror Nights a listen, just to kind of get the background first, then go into what has essentially been added or retconned in to the event. So shall we listen to what Tim found out from his time traveling soiree?
Yeah, let's listen.
When it comes to the lore and history of Halloween Horror Nights, there isn't anyone or anything that comes close to the popularity of the infamous Jack the Clown. Jack made his HHN debut back in 2000 at Halloween Horror Nights 10, but if you thought he was acting alone, you don't know Jack. Jack performed in a traveling carnival known as Dr. Oddfellow's Carnival of Thrills, which was engineered by none other than Dr. Rich Oddfellow. Oddfellow was an entrepreneur of sorts, hosting several circuses and carnivals, but the most famous and successful of his ventures was his Carnival of Thrills. He was, in a sense, Jack's boss, who would go on to become the most fearsome clown of all time. His role in Oddfellow's traveling carnival was to entertain people, and in particular, children. Unbeknownst to his employer and guests, he was also a twisted and maniacal murderer. In the 1920s, many children were going missing in the South. When the police came to investigate this, they linked the disappearances to the route that the carnival took. On Halloween in 1920, the police decided to investigate the carnival, and their prime suspect was Jack Schmidt. Jack heard about the suspicion from the police and confessed all his crimes to Dr. Oddfellow. Jack's initial plan that Oddfellow would protect him from law enforcement as they had been working closely together. Instead of a sympathetic friend, Jack was met with fury from Oddfellow, but not for the fact he has murdered innocent children, but the fact that Oddfellow once had a circus that killed several customers that he had kept a secret. Oddfellow did not want the police sniffing around to uncover his own shady past, as he had been under the alias of Oddfellow and been on the run since the accident. Oddfellow pretended to listen to Jack's story and managed to convince Jack to show him where the bodies were to help him hide the evidence. Jack led Oddfellow into his coach and in the direction of the three trunks inside his living quarters. Inside these trunks were the missing bodies of the 13 children he had murdered. In retaliation, instead of helping Jack, Oddfellow had him murdered and his corpse and the children's bodies in plain sight in his House of Horrors attraction. After several years and several years of evading police capture, Oddfellow sold off the carnival. The House of Horrors attraction was sold off and sat for 60 years, untouched and scrapped, for metal. On Halloween, 60 years later, a BBC TV crew who were filming The Great Dark Rides of America came across the House of Horrors attraction in a junkyard in Louisiana. They entered the junkyard and the carnival managed to get inside the attraction while they were filming footage for their show. The smell inside was very overwhelming as the 60-year-old attraction was untouched. They then found a series of trunks that blocked a huge wooden box which had letters stenciled around the outside which spelled out J-A-C-K. As the crew moved closer with their flashlights, they found a large crank on the outside to akin to a jack-in-the-box. One of the crew members starts to turn the crank. As the crank is turned several rotations, nothing happens, but then the camera dies. Inside the box, noises can be heard, and another crew member finds a flashlight that shows the crank moving on its own until it finally bursts open to show the decomposed body of Jack, tangled in springs. The police were then called, who investigated the old attraction. They managed to trace the carnival back to Oddfellow and deduced that it was Jack Schmidt and the 13 missing children. Detectives then sent out the bodies of the 13 children in two vans to the coroner's office, and they had a third van for Jack as they would not remove him from the springs. The first two vans made it, but the third van did not make it. As they were driving through, the driver reported some trouble around midnight, and then they went missing in the swamp. A week passed by and the crew from the BBC TV series were found dead. This created an urban legend around Jack where he was searching for Oddfellow to get revenge and rewarded any person who released him from his jack-in-a-box tomb with death. In October 2000, Universal Studios managed to get their hands on some of Dr. Oddfellow's original Carnival of Thrill pieces and incorporated it into their 2000 event. Marketing used this urban legend of Jack and used it as part of the event. Art and Design also managed to acquire the original box that Jack was trapped in. As the art and design department checked the item and turned the crank, they unleashed Jack. Now reincarnated into Halloween Horror Nights, this was his first appearance in HHN history. One of these mazes in 2000 was called the Fear House, and the press release and description of the maze sums Oddfellow up perfectly as it stated. Welcome to Dr. Rich Oddfellow's Carnival of Oddities. Looking for a good scare or just a glimpse into the world of the weird? There's nothing subtle about Dr. Oddfellow's Carnival. Join the Dark Doctor in his funhouse of thrills and chills. Only the facade of this house is darker and more ominous than expected. Expect the unexpected as you move through the mirrored hallways and through the darkened corridors, trying to find a way out. Only the joke is on you. Dr. Oddfellow needs more exhibits for his traveling tour of torture. You move through the world of reflection, tricked at every opportunity. Low-lying fog prevents you from seeing the floor, and lighting effects create an unnatural glow. Scare actors' images appear in reflections and suddenly appear in your face. Utilizing illusion techniques combined with hideously deformed masked creatures, Dr. Oddfellow gives you an unguided tour of terror through this nightmarish reflective world, your challenge to find a... At the Sweet 16, Jack was finally caught by authorities as they realized he was Jack Schmidt and was placed in Shady Brook Asylum. Inmates started to idolize him and started to emulate him. The inmates started a riot and killed hospital staff and put Jack in charge. During this mayhem, Jack found records that his former employer, Dr. Oddfellow, was still alive and was running a small carnival. Oddfellow finally met his demise in 2007 as Jack got a taste of what it was like to be the leader of the carnival at HHN 17, Carnival of Carnage. After escaping the incredibly safe and secure Shady Brook Rest Home and Sanitarium, Jack found Oddfellow and killed him in revenge. Jack also took Oddfellow's Cane of Souls, changed his attire to a proper ringmaster, and traveled around looking for new acts for his new Carnival of Carnage.
Perfect. All right. Yeah, Tim always does a good job collecting that information. Thanks for that, Tim. So, Liz, you've been you've been going forever, same as me. What are you thinking about Oddfellows history just from what was originally listed from, you know, Halloween Horror Nights 10 all the way up to, let's just say, Carnival of Carnage into 25? And what did you think of the lore and history behind him originally?
Yeah, he's always been this mysterious figure in the past of Jack that we've known a little bit, but we've never gotten to see him, and we've never gotten to know what his story is. How did he come to be? And so I think we're going to finally get to know some of that information and see him beyond the lens of Jack.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. The mysterious that you brought up is a good way of putting it, because like you said, we've never really seen him in the flesh or on pictures or anything like that. Even in like anniversary zones or anniversary mazes, he's never been featured as well, which I think gave them a little carte blanche to kind of, you know, kind of prolong that story or even go a new direction, which I think they've done. But just for me originally, I think it worked well up until the Carnival of Carnage. You know, Jack kind of got a taste of what it was to be the main icon and ended up killing Dr. Oddfellow in the old story. But we have now got new lore that's been added courtesy of the Discover Universal podcast. Now, we are going to go into it because it is obviously new information. It relates to Halloween Horror Nights 32 specifically. So we do need to go over that because it's now history and now pieces for that. If you don't have or have never listened to Discover Universal, they do a Universal podcast from the parks, whether it's just going to the parks or tribute stores, or they even do food around the parks. But they also do a Halloween Horror Nights segment as well, which they did start last year. And it gives you extra information about the houses, the lore on just original properties as well. But the episode is called Halloween Horror Nights Haunted Tales. And I think it's going to be a series. And the first one's called Dr. Oddfellows. What is it called? Collection of Horror, the first one?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. And what, and just so people can know, what else was listed? I know it was three parts listed as well. Liz, can you want to touch on that? What also was featured?
Yes. Do I have it up? I do. So we have coming soon, The Darkest Deal, Vamp 69, Summer of Blood, Blood Moon, Dark Offerings, and Dueling Dragons, Choose Thy Fate, all coming soon.
Perfect. And there was a couple of full reveals on there as well. I think it's just them talking about the release of the houses, the zones, but specifically the Dr. Oddfellow's Collection of Horror. Make sure you listen to that on the Discover Universal podcast, just because we're going to touch on it now, but we're going to truncate it a little bit as well, just so we're not rambling on about everything and discuss it a little bit as well. So definitely check it out. So let's yeah.
It's really well produced too. It's like listening to an audiobook level of their sound effects and music and everything. So it's a really fun listen.
Yeah, it really is. When they're talking about the more, I guess, intense pieces, they really have the vibe and the music that goes with it. So yeah, definitely check that one out. For that is Discover Universal podcast. So basically we start off how Dr. Oddfellow has threaded his way throughout the entire Halloween Horror Nights 32. And then the vampires in New York. And it is somebody, would you say, is like writing a letter, correct?
Yeah, she's writing back a letter to, you find out more information later on in the story, but yes, she's writing a letter.
She's writing a letter, so you're basically hearing it from her point of view. You don't find out her name just yet, but she's talking about recalling events from a past that seemed unrelated. And then she's talking about Oddfellow right off the bat, saying she fears that he's immortal and he's not one of our kind. And then even writing this letter, she can feel the power to join him. She's putting the memories in blood in each drop on this page. But firstly, what's a little bit different to the prior information is it's set in the 1930s. Now, the prior story was the 1920s Halloween night. Now, this one is, it is a big one. So it's talking about searching for another vampire called Olotto across the prairie. And then they hear about a mass killing at a circus. So they travel 100 miles to get there. And it wasn't vampires. It was another twisted form of sacrifice, also like a cult killing. So hundreds of dead bodies littered along the ground. A lot of them were patrons. A lot of them were people from the show. There was also a severed clown there. And a lot of it is these zodiac related. So there was two people sewn together, like the Gemini, like Taurus was like a bull on somebody's head, somebody into like crab claws. So I think that, Liz, is where they link in the kind of zodiac within that place there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Part of the ritual, zodiac ritual.
Yep. Perfect. And then the symbol remains untouched and said they've been known. But now this is obviously ringing a bell. The second time, they've also seen the symbol again. Okay, because the symbol was in the carnival. They've also seen it again at a music festival in upstate New York, which is where obviously BAMP 69 is coming in. And they also saw it on the head of Dr. Oddfellow. They said they saw it yesterday on the head of Dr. Oddfellow. And then they also bring up a person called Erlo Wolf, who was a supposed vampire, but now they're saying they believe is Dr. Oddfellow. And then they met Wolf, Erlo Wolf, who is Oddfellow, back in 1961, who now they were masquerading as a vampire. And they said his circus was attacked by vampires and he was turned. And then that was in 1938, and it was all very detailed. So they just kind of took him in as a resident vampire themselves. Is that about right?
Yeah, and it shows that maybe Dr. Oddfellow is able to shapeshift.
Yep, I think so. And then also, what he does do is Alotto, which is one of the head vampires on the council, is being watched by the other vampires. So now this Erlo Wolf, who is Oddfellow, is saying that Alotto doesn't have the bloodlust anymore. He wants to let us free, but then Alotto said he is passionate, and they end up going to attack then the 1969 music festival, which we're going to see on the streets of New York. And then he's growing basically in power as well. So they got him unleashed on the music festival. And then also we get Jack the Clown woven into the story as well. So over two decades later, the person who's writing the letter hears of another immortal, Jack the Clown, who returned from the dead in a manner they couldn't explain. And it was very difficult to find, but they found him in 2007, which in Halloween Horror Nights Lore is a very big year.
Yeah. Carnival of Carnage.
Yep. So they travel from New York to find Jack, and Jack told them about Oddfellow being essentially his boss in the circus of the 1930s. Oddfellow killed him and stuffed him in a box, but he eventually got his revenge, took his cloak and the infamous Cane of Souls. And then obviously Jack showed the Cane of Souls to the writer, and he said, "I saw it with my own eyes, but it felt like a cave. It felt like a void." And then I don't know how this relates, but he said Oddfellow did have the Cane of Souls.
Yeah, he's got it back.
Yeah, he's got it back now. And he said he could feel the Cane of Souls. The void that was there is now drawing breath. And he said the cane and the symbols are connected. And also he had the zodiac on his forehead and the zodiac on his back as well. And also to link it with the scare zones, they did find other occurrences of them, which was a shipping crate in San Francisco, and also supposed one in the jungle of doom. So Erlo Wolf, then he's Oddfellow, and you can hide in plain sight. Liz, like you said, a bit of a shapeshifter. He did use these vampires to gain his power. And then basically, he then is in control of all these people. His voice is booming. He says, "Feel fear and be like me, and you'll lift and follow my path to immortality." This person who's writing it saying they don't want to do it, but they feel the fear. They feel like they have to go, and they try and crawl away with the last little fraction of strength. But it doesn't even matter. They have to go to Oddfellow. And the last little bit is she's talking to somebody called Fenric, and she says, "I have written this letter to tell you what I know. You will remain ignorant of this nightmare, but the fangs of the dark void are draining me, and I call out to him, your daughter, Cassilla." So the person writing all this thing is somebody named Cassilla, She's basically telling everyone about the kind of timeline of Oddfellow, which is now retconned now because it's completely different to the original history. Tim so kindly went back and found out. But Liz, just taking that one kind of at face value, we've only listened to it both once, but how do you like that story, and how does it, how do you like it or prefer it to the prior story?
Well, I'm enjoying it, but then also the final piece is that he's in modern times and he's looking for people to join him to you know, keep his immortality. And it would be a shame if he found a giant Halloween event in Orlando with a lot of people at it, you know, to continue his reign of terror. So yeah, if only he could find a place like that.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like every time we have an icon, they give us all the backstory. And then it's now ended up at Halloween Horror Nights to find, yes, people like you to join. But like you said, it's very well written and the production value is very good on it. I do urge you to go ahead and listen to it yourself, because there's, you know, they go into a little bit more details about the characters that are involved, which we may see at the event as well, maybe.
Possibly. Maybe in the vamp zone, we'll see those vamps wandering around.
Yep. And everything's related in terms of the zone. And I did like how they've used the San Francisco zone, also Jungle of Doom. So they are trying to uncover everything in there. And if you do check, we've got to touch on this, Liz, in a moment. You're going to go over this. But the Oddfellow symbol is shown in all the zones as well. And on some of the mazes, I believe, as well, in the graphics.
Oh, like, I didn't even notice that. There. But
yeah, for the shipyard one does have these symbols on there as well. I'm taking a quick look. Shipyard 32. Yeah, if you scroll in a little bit on some of the shipping containers, it does have some of the Zodiac symbols on there, which is cool. But yeah, like I said, I do urge you to go ahead and listen. I can't do it really justice, just because I didn't want to ramble on for, you know, yeah, 30 minutes.
It's a 20-minute podcast, so yeah, it's hard to condense it down.
It's off. Yeah, so we're going to go over the scare zones, because we are going to touch on everything. We're not going to go in depth for the scare zone and how hot we are for them, but we are going to touch on it because it all relates to this story, Liz.
Yeah, so there is also another podcast from Discover Universal today, and that is going over a full reveal of the event. Now, if you do not want spoilers, I recommend not listening to these, because they went into great detail about the houses, about the zones, and they do warn you there's spoilers, but I just want to put out there again, if you want to be surprised, don't listen to these. So we're not going to spoil anything big, but we're going to touch on some of the tidbits they shared. So first off, one of the things we learned today is that right when you walk in the park, you're going to be met with Dr. Oddfellow and his collection of horror. So this is going to be the entrance zone. He'll be there trying to lure you in with a promise of immortality, and it'll be kind of like the zones we've seen in the past, where it's a, you know, hodgepodge of various creatures from around the park all together, and Dr. Oddfellow right there drawing you in.
I like that. I think when we touched on it earlier, whether it's an icon or not, I feel like if it's his event, you know, going in and seeing him and his kind of area first, drawing you in, it kind of, I think it just kind of, you know, the fact that he is going to be the icon for the event.
It sets the tone for sure.
Yeah, it does.
And then a tidbit that they shared is that, as we know now, Dr. Oddfellow is known to be a shapeshifter. So there's a chance that he will be in every zone, but obviously his main appearance will be right up front. He can shapeshift into other beings, so he might have a presence in each zone.
Yeah, so the one that is right there, Liz, that you're talking about now, are you expecting him to be, I guess, his true self in that specific zone?
That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting to see him as himself up front, and then a shapeshift version, like him as a vampire, probably the Earl of Wolf in the Vamp 69.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then a version of himself in the jungle. And they said you'd have to look out for certain pieces of what I assume will be his costume. So I'm assuming he's going to have some signature items that we'll be able to identify in his other forms.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Going spotting him in the different zones. Yeah,
that'll be a fun, like, Easter egg hunt, you know?
Yes, agreed.
So then moving on to Hollywood, we have Dark Zodiac. So Dr. Oddfellow has entered a dark dimension to harness the power of the Zodiac and live forever. So in this zone, they said it will have Zodiac, obviously, tarot. They're pulling from the elements, and there are going to be creatures from each Zodiac. So, you know, crabs, bulls, fish, all these different creatures, but they're all going to be dark and demented because they've been twisted by Dr. Oddfellow.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, because you may be able to spot all the 12 Zodiac signs. That's going to be pretty cool. And then in terms of this one, then that would be maybe him as trying to think as the, because the kind of Zodiac killings were in like the 1930s in the carnival. So maybe he'd be dressed in like his carnival getup, maybe.
Yeah, that could be. It's part of, at this point, he's conducting the ritual in order to become immortal. So that could be that 1930s
that
time
could
period.
What happens in the circus tent, which could be him and his ringmaster. That Jack eventually takes the jacket, right? That'd make sense if he's in that jacket.
Yep, absolutely. It would make sense. So then we can move on to the Jungle of Doom Expedition Horror, and we're going back in time into this version of the 1920s, where Dr. Oddfellow has ventured deep into the darkest jungle, performing horrific experiments on nature. So in this case, we're witnessing Dr. Oddfellow in the earliest stages of trying to find his powers. And so he has gone into a temple to look for a glowing skull and try to start that process of becoming immortal. So he's morphing and twisting, creating like a nature and beast combo. So I'm expecting some sort of weird mutant animals and jungle creatures out here.
Yeah, it sounds like the Island of Dr. Moreau is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which they've had at the event before from way back in the past.
Yeah, I don't even remember what year that was, but Jungle Doom was real early on. So it's a nice callback.
Yeah, Jungle Doom from 13, there's the actual maze, I believe. Yeah, but I think the midway of the bazaar, Island of Dr. Moreau, was a little bit earlier than that. I mean, I don't think they're going to pull from that. It's going to be Jungle Doom, but it just reminds me of that.
I think it's more so a tie-in with the name, just like, hey, remember this?
Yep.
So then moving around the park, we have Shipyard 32, Horrors Unhinged. And in this case, we have moved to the 1940s. And we're going to enter a 1940s San Francisco shipping yard full of mysterious crates and cages bearing Dr. Oddfellow's symbol. And so this is a 1940s loading dock outside of Dr. Oddfellow's Pier 32 warehouse, where he's shipping his creations, his monsters around. And of course, they break free and come after us. So an interesting thing we found out today is that it's going to have classic monster creations from previous years of Halloween Horror Nights and brand new monsters as well. So they're connecting Dr. Oddfellow into this Horror Nights history where even when we haven't seen him, the signs have always been there because he's been creating all of these monsters that have tortured us for years. We just didn't realize it.
See, that's cool. The only thing, my issue with this, I don't know if you feel the same, this one feels a bit more shoehorned just because of the theming of that area shipyard, nautical theming, San Francisco, Bay Area. This one feels a lot more shoehorned. The other ones look great so far. This one feels a little bit more shoehorned, but it'll be good spotting Easter eggs. It's going to be cool when I can spot when I'm walking around that zone on the path as opposed to walking through it because it's just crazy, that zone.
I do enjoy when they incorporate what's already there into the theme because, you know, it's very obviously San Francisco and a wharf. So it's nice to just kind of tie it in and not try to make it something it's not.
Yeah, no, of course. But like I said, shoehorn, I mean, it's only so much they can, they've done plenty of different ones there before, but yeah, cool one. I like the, like you found out, you know, there's going to be monsters of the past plus new ones. That's plenty of Easter egg spotting in there as well. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. And then that brings us to possibly a fan favorite. I think we all love the Vamp series that we've had before, Vamp 55, Vamp 85. They're breaking tradition this time around. It's Vamp 69, Summer of Blood, at a 60s music fest in a small town in New York. You'll jam to popular bands with fellow concert goers until Dr. Oddfellow unleashes vicious vampires on the audience. So this goes back to the story we just heard in the podcast. He sends in a coven of vampires after all the concert goers. And there's going to be supposedly some vamps that we've already maybe seen. So maybe some of the vamps from 1955 are now at the music festival.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, it's a music festival. I mean, that's easy pickings for vampires.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know the story we've gone over as well. All the characters we've explained in the Discover Universal podcast. This is, like you said, I'll probably be hanging out in this zone as well, including the Erlo Wolf character, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, so that's it. That concludes the zones, right?
That's all the zones.
Perfect. Yeah, so like we said, we wanted to touch on just the zones because they are all Oddfellow's collection of horror, collection of oddities. So he's kind of stringing everything together. Plus, he's got his own maze as well, which we are going to touch on in our bumper episode. You know, go ahead and cover everything here. But yeah, I think I'm excited. Liz, how's the hype level after today?
I was already decently excited, but the hype level is much higher today after hearing all the lore and really finding out how much they planned for Oddfellow. There is so much lore that we're getting added. And, you know, you and I are the nerds for the lore. So yep, it's a good day for us.
Yeah, I think like you said, I think I was already hyped anyway. I think just with the IPs we've got already, including Chucky as well, Last of Us, Stranger Things, I think the hype was already there. But man, I have just been on social media today. I haven't seen anybody who's not excited about this lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Of everything and how they've interwoven this story. They have retconned a little bit just to kind of make it work, which I'm fine with as long as it works and, you know, prior things are not being ruined. I'm absolutely okay with that. But yeah, we've had this episode on ice for a while. You know, Oddfellow's been rumored for such a long period of time now. I thought we might have got a little bit of a commercial like they did with Chance, and
yeah, that would have been nice.
That'd have been pretty cool just to kind of see a version of him on a commercial. But we've had this one on ice for a little bit. We wanted to release this because we do like to do the history episodes with what's coming to the event and just kind of keep people, you know, current with what's going on in Horror Nights history and lore. But having just said that, Liz, it kind of brings me to my next point. We're not going to go over houses right now, but on the announcement picture for his house, you saw the picture.
Yes.
Of Oddfellow. Do you want to kind of touch on that?
Sure. Pulling it back up now.
There's just so many, there's just so much information today. I've got so many
pictures. Yeah, actually, looking back at it now, I just zoomed in on it more than I had before. Do you think that pattern that's on his face, do you think that's what we saw in that static video?
Yeah, that's a good point, that as well. Because in the, he did say that something on his forehead. They also said as well in that Discover Universal pod, that he had a big one on his back, too, remember? So, trying to think where that would have been. Maybe you'll see that in like the Jungle of Doom, maybe. It's like a rainforest type thing. He might have a shirt off with that on his back, maybe, you know? But yeah, just kind of scrolling in. But he looks like, to me, very, like you would see like a, you know, if you ask a, if you ask somebody to draw like a voodoo, I don't know, what's the word for it? Voodoo king or a voodoo priest, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that where I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
definitely
think it's the typical, looks like the top hat with the, you know, is that what you're getting out of that in terms of the
theming? Look at his teeth. His teeth are not normal. Those are not vampire teeth. Those are he's been working on the jungle creatures. He's got some crazy teeth going on.
Yeah. No, but yeah, it's just cool to see the picture of his. But I would love, you know, how they did like a 15, 20 second one with Chance, just to kind of bring him in, just for like a 15, 20 second, just for like a,
did,
I guess
did
a,
you
a,
notice,
hu- a human version.
Did you notice the background of his his house's logo. I'm just zooming in on it to see that it has all the Zodiac symbols behind it.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
I have looked at it multiple times today, and I just noticed while zooming in that his logo for his house has all the Zodiac symbols in the background.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, so that's really very cool. That's definitely getting tied into the lore that we heard today. I'm expecting to see some of those creatures, those Zodiac creatures in his house for sure.
Yeah, and do you think the last couple of years, I mean, I always have fun at the events, that's just a given, but do you think this has been the first time in a while we've had the whole event sort of in sync, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I know that for Lady Luck, she had her entire story written, and last year was a little bit of a tie-in because everything was traditional Halloween.
Right.
But Lady Luck is, I feel like, the last one we had that had a story woven through each zone and house.
Yeah.
And at this level, at least.
Yeah, exactly. There's been a theme, right? Like you said, mm-hmm. traditional Halloween. You know, we've had the 80s theme as well. So there's been themes, but yeah, I think just everything woven together. And we're probably going to see more of the houses once we get through those, how everything is connected holistically here for the event. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on like what he looks like, because we've not really seen him ever.
Yeah.
You know, in his own or even an anniversary thing. But
very interested to see his full costume.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much it for this one. We wanted to do just a small history sample just to kind of keep people up to date with the lore, the history. We hope we can, you know, help you guys get ready for the event in terms of, you know, what you might be seeing there. But yeah, we're going to do a bigger episode with all the reactions to the announcement. So we're going to do a big hype list episode as well. I think it's going to be a tough one this year.
Oh, it's going to be very tough. I already tried, and it's like 1 through 8, they're all the same.
that's so true. You get, I think that's for a lot of hype lists, you get between like, I don't know, 3 to 8, and you're like, these could be in any order.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Doesn't really matter. But yeah, but anything else in terms of Oddfellow history, the podcast, the descriptions, anything you want to go over, anything we might have missed?
No, I think we've got a lot to talk about tomorrow. We're going to be recording our announcement episode, and I mm-hmm. think we got to save some of those thoughts for that episode.
Perfect. Yes, that's it. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Liz, I'm sorry I can only pick on one person.
I kind of figured you were going to pick yourself.
Yeah, I can't pick myself. I could, but I'm not going to. So Liz, where can everybody find us?
They can find us at RIP Tour Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Threads, you know, just in case someday we might need it. We've got a Discord, and we have a Spreadshirt shop, and we have a brand new shirt design coming out tomorrow for Vant 69 that is so good. Gary knocked it out of the park. I cannot wait to buy it in every color. It's so good.
Yeah, I've had a couple of messages and text messages saying, oh my gosh, that shirt is fantastic. It's very in fitting with the theme, because even though there's five zones, that is probably that's going to be the standout one we are expecting. I do want to say on behalf of everybody as well, we've cleared 3,000 followers now. We're very close to like 3,100, I think, actually. So we kind of got way past it. That was the goal for this event, getting to that 3,000 mark. We can't thank anybody enough who follows us, listens to us.
We actually still need to do our giveaway. Today was supposed to be the giveaway day, but obviously with everything happening.
Yeah.
So we will be doing the giveaway early next week, and giving away that prize package.
We can be forgiven today, I think, without all the craziness that's gone on. But yeah, we do appreciate that. Like I said, we're just normal people just talking about this. It's a labor of love for us. So we are very humbled when people message us saying how much they love the show, and you know, we really appreciate everybody listening. But yeah, about me getting emotional and sentimental, I think we're going to wrap it up here. We appreciate you listening. Can't wait to see everybody in the fog coming soon. But a couple of episodes before the event finally starts, I think it's 35 or 34 days now, Liz, so we're almost there.
So soon.
So soon. We're almost in August, so it's going to fly by now. But thanks again so much for listening. Bye.
Bye. Bye.